want to speak to you tonight about the fact of forsaking the Lord. I'll tell you what, I believe that without question, there are more forsaking the Lord than there are embracing the Lord. There are many that they just can't take the heat anymore. The heat's on. The heat's on to compromise. Churches are going to be harder to find. Good churches. Stand straight. Things are getting worse. They're not getting better. I don't believe in that. Whatever they call that. Things are getting better and better and going to Christianize the whole world. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. And I do have enough understanding in the Bible to know that things were pretty bad in the days of Noah. Listen, if things, and I know God's promise to put a bow in the sky. But I'll tell you what, when things get as bad as in Sodom, God will still burn them up. I'll tell you, God can use anything He wants. He can use a flood. He can use a fire that'll burn all across this country. I mean, God could just dry up this whole country and set a fire out in California and blow the whole thing off and burn all the houses down in America. God can do anything He wants. And all we do is sit there and tremble. The mighty power of God and beg His mercy and His grace. I want you to know the rain falls on the just and the unjust. I know God is separating them all, but I'll tell you what, there's judgment coming. Jeremiah was a judgment preacher. And I've been reading in my own personal devotions. I'm still not out of Deuteronomy yet. It's probably why you got the message this morning. But Jeremiah sure seems to fit. You know what Jeremiah is? Jeremiah is the preacher who's preaching to the people who did not want the law of God, who did not give ear to the law of God, those that refused the grace of God, refused the Savior. There's nothing left for people like that but fire and judgment. Boy, we need to get back to the Bible. That's the answer, the Bible. In one place, I want to give you this lest I forget it. There's one little place here in Deuteronomy that I didn't cover this morning, so go back there just for a moment. I don't believe I have anything else that I know of in Deuteronomy, but this is 28. Look there just for a moment. Because when I was going through this, this just touched me. I mean, by the way, God said there's going to be a botch. I'll smite you with the botch of Egypt and emrods and with scab and with itch and with whereof thou canst not be healed with. He said, I will smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. But I'll tell you what, if you have your children and you're enjoying your children, you better thank God for it. It's because of obedience to the Word of God in regard to this verse of Scripture. In Deuteronomy 28, verse number 41, it says, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. For they shall go into captivity. Sin leads into binding and captivity. They were taken off into captivity and they couldn't enjoy their children. Even though God gave them children. Sin's a terrible thing. Now go with me to Jeremiah. Don't think I gave you the place yet. But I want to especially Jeremiah chapter 8. 8 and 9. 8 verse 20, very familiar to some of us. Probably not so much to others. I want to tell you and preach to you tonight about the condition, the terrible condition of those who forsake the Lord. And the only thing that we can do is what Jeremiah did. Cry aloud and spare not and just weep all the time. He was called the weeping prophet. He did not delight at people spurning the grace of God and turning against the message that God had given him. He's called the weeping prophet. And we need to be like that. We're not to rejoice at the death of the wicked, but that they turn. We should be burdened. When we go to Fort Hood and go in the barracks out there, fellas, if you can go in those barracks and you don't have a tear in your eye, you need help. You need to ask God for a compassion. I'm telling you, it's so wicked. You want to go down the hall and open every door and just say, repent, the whole bunch of you all going to hell. just gross wickedness. So you'll have to ask God for compassion. Compassion. So you'll not try to pass over their sin. That's not showing kindness to people. If you catch people in sin, you know what your best thing to do is rebuke them. People come to the door and they're not married and say, why aren't you married? Do you believe in the Bible? You want to burn in hell? You go to a person's house and they're full of alcohol and drink. Rebuke them. It says, there's no drunkards that will enter the kingdom of heaven. They'll at least remember you came by. But do it with a tear in your eye, a brokenness in your heart. Tell them, I don't want you to go to hell. But the truth of the matter is, you're going to hell, and it's full of drunkards just like you, and fornicators just like you, and adulterers and adulteresses just like you. And you that are out there on the fort, these people start talking about their escapades and everything. You need to tell them for me that I want to find out their name. I want to call their wife up. It's what I think about. The truth will set people free. It'll put a fire under there. It'll cause them to keep their big mouth shut in your presence. Bragging about their being down on 6th Street or something else. I'll tell you what, you shut them up quickly. I'm going to call your wife up. I'm going to tell her next time I see her when we have a get together and she's there. I want you to know, I'm going to tell her about what you're doing, bud. If he doesn't care, well, then he's more than a fool than you thought he was, weren't you? Right? And his wife's probably just as sorry as he is. But if it sobers him up, you might save a family and save a soul from hell. Don't pass over their sin. That doesn't show compassion. Tell them the way out of their sin. And as John Wynn said, tell them about hellfire, but don't ever leave without praying that they'll not die and go to hell and burn forever. Pray for them. Pray for them right there. Make them really feel bad. Amen? Hey, may God help us. Stand with me as we read three verses as we get started tonight. Who knows? I might preach a real short one again. I've done that the last couple times. In the last year or so, I've even preached two or three short messages and shocked you all, didn't I? I probably won't do it tonight, so don't get expecting that. But who knows, I might. Amen. All right, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 through 22. Let's read each of those verses together in unison. Jeremiah 8, verse 20 through 22. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Let's pray. Father, we pray thy blessing on the consideration, our Father, of the terrible condition that was before Jeremiah, and the terrible condition that was told back in Deuteronomy, the giving of the law, when God said, you will have these curses on you if you do not obey the word of God. And here's the proof of them over in Jeremiah. And yet our attitude needs to be right. We do not need to rejoice that people are going to hell. Shame on us if we'd even think about it. But may we be weeping as Jeremiah, compassionate, concerned for the lost. When Jesus comes back, dear Lord, so few are going to be ready. And even Christians, those that are saved and part of the bride of Christ, so many will. They'll be ready because Christ lives in their heart, but dear Lord, their life will not be all that it could have been. Because of sin, because of laziness, because of other things. So, Lord, it would behoove us to yield ourselves afresh and pray, dear Lord, that you would not allow us to forsake you in any fashion. Help us, we pray. For the summer is ended, we are not saved. Oh, dear God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm still rejoicing those two young men came this morning. I believe both professed faith in the Lord. I don't often get a chance to talk to the ones who dealt with them, but they both felt quite satisfied they got saved and got it settled with the Lord. I'm thrilled about that. Two young boys, that's worth it all. Amen. The one first time here. First time he ever came to our church. So, go get them, bus workers. Amen. Just go get some new ones. If the old ones quit listening and start misbehaving, become a torment to your soul. Amen. And they start causing others not to listen. Be better off maybe just say, why don't you just stay home for a month? We won't pick you up because you're messing up our whole class. And if you really get right with God, give me a phone call. Otherwise, we're going into a different area. We're going to get some new kids that really want to hear about how to be saved. Amen? Hello? Jesus said, will you also go away? He turns to the disciples. They had all left because of the bread of life discourse. He turns to the disciples. Will you also go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? We don't have anyone else to go to, and we know you're the Redeemer. But those that don't know, you know what Jesus rebuked him? He said, you follow me because of the bread. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. Well, here's the condition. Go with me, first of all, to Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 13, it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You better not forget God. Verse 17, the last part, it says, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way. In other parts of the first part of Jeremiah, it says that they didn't want to go in the way God wanted them to go. They forsook the way. And Jesus said in the New Testament, I am the way. I would serve notice on you. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. He's the way. He's everything. They didn't want to go in the right way. Here's the reason they didn't want to go in the right way. We have that right after in chapter 9. I want to read that first, though. Oh, that my head, verse 1. Jeremiah 9:1, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Some of you like to just go out and get away from everything. It's the way Jeremiah felt, but the reason he wanted to get away from everything is people were all committing adultery. You say, how bad was it? I'm glad you asked. Chapter 10, verse 21. Look at this. Chapter 10, verse 21. It says, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. The pastors have become brutish. They didn't seek the Lord. They forsook the Lord themselves. In another part, I believe, of Jeremiah, it says it was so bad that their tables, the priests and all, that their tables were full of vomit from excessive drinking of wine. And then it says twice in the book of Jeremiah that the people were so sinful, it says, neither could they blush. They lost their blush even. They sinned and didn't even blush when they were confronted with their sin. You talk about a seared conscience. Oh, there's people like that all over the place. You say, well, what's so bothersome about all of this? Well, when the person loses their blush, there's nothing left but the fire to come down from heaven. That seems like what happened in Sodom. They lost their blush. They just banging at the door. You know what God had to do? He had to smite him with blindness. I thought, well, that was a good one. I thought about that the other day as I heard the sermon by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Yeah. I was telling my wife, I've listened to about 6 or 8 of those tapes. If Dr. Bob Jones Sr. came back to the university, I know one teacher he'd throw right out on his ear, who mistreated the Bible in front of my son and almost caused him to lose his faith in God. Dr. Bob Sr., just hear about a man like that. And he wouldn't care what doctor's degrees he had. He'd throw him on his ear. No, you better encourage people to believe this holy book and not say the New American Standard Version is better than the King James either, when his daddy said that was the Bible to use. That's pretty drastic when your boy tells you this many years later, as the teacher took the Bible and dropped the Bible on his desk, not on the floor, on his desk, said, "This is the King James Version, and this is the better version. The New American Standard Version is the one you need." And my boy Stephen said, "I even wondered, Dad, if there was a God after he did that. I really wondered if there was a God. For you always told me that that old King James Authorized Version was the Word of God." Well, Dr. Bob, I've heard his sermons. He wanted to come back if there was a teacher like that. And he wanted to, if they would start teaching wrong things, he wanted to burn the whole school down. He put it in the Constitution. They'd allow teachers like that. That they'd burn the whole school down. I'm not saying they're all teachers are like that, but I'll tell you what. You better watch that Mr. Hand if you go down there, son. When we had the videos here, I had to edit some of that. You shouldn't have to do that about the Bible. I had to correct it. Shouldn't have to do that about the Bible. Especially the Bible. Now, I've got but one book. And what Brother Shea taught this morning was true. We don't all need to be using our own Bibles. And if that's what they're having in their devotional times in the men's and ladies' dorms, they don't need to do that. Because as far as I know, Crown College, and up there, I don't know if that be true, but I hope not, up there at that school in Menominee Falls. But with all Pensacola's problems, they do use the King James Bible at least. And I know that what do they call those things? Culottes or something. I know they're not as good as they are, but they don't let them have pants in their skating rink. I will have to say praise God for that at Pensacola. I can tell you some bad things about her too. And there's not a school in Christendom I probably couldn't find something plenty wrong with it. Strict as we are. But you better be careful of when you start dealing with the Bible, and a young man comes out of a Bible class saying, "I don't know if there even is a God," after the teacher does that. That made me mad. And I don't care what missionaries hear this tape. I said it made me mad. We don't have confidence in this book, we have nothing left. And anybody that would even try or allude to taking a little bit of confidence of any young man away from the Bible, the old King James Authorized King James Version of the Bible, he needs to be out the door as fast as he came in. Take all his PhDs with him. By the way, he's the man that was the lawyer instead of the preacher. He was the lawyer instead of the preacher. Dr. Hand. Yeah, why? Well, I think I'd rather have a preacher. I think I'd rather have a God-called preacher teaching my boys principles of Christian living. A freshman class. Amen?
care if your father is Brother Hand. I'll call him a brother, but he's still doing wrong, and he had no business doing that with my boy. Amen. You say you're going overboard, Pastor. You can't go overboard on this book. Amen. You can teach some wrong things, but you can't go overboard on promoting the book of God. You can be in error, but I'm not in error. Amen. The book's on my side. I'm telling you, if you even catch wind of stuff like that in our Sunday school, I want to hear about it. If you ever catch wind of that in a university training our young ministers and our young Christians, it is dangerous. It is a red flag. Amen? My precious wife was down there. She said every translation you could imagine in the dormitories. This was 15 or 20 years ago. All those girls in their short shorts and everything else, running around in their pants in the dormitory. That wasn't so when I was there. And it ought not to be so now, for God doesn't change. And I just heard a sermon by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. And he said, these women will start having their pants rolled up. He said, it's wrong. And Sr. is right. And the followers are not right. And he also spoke about translations. I want to set this straight too. This matter about translations. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was on the committee or something, or a helper in the Amplified New Testament. Not the Amplified Bible. I said the Amplified New Testament. And I had one when I was a young boy. And all it was a King James Version of the Bible. And it would say, "For God so loved." King James words, in parentheses, deeply loved and greatly praised the world, that he gave, that he yielded up. They didn't change the word gave. They put in parentheses. If you don't like that, don't use it. But it was all the King James words. And all that is in reality, it was giving the synonyms and amplifying with synonyms the scriptures. Now, I don't think it's the wisest thing for us all to have amplified Bibles. But at least they were honest. And they kept the original words right in the text. And the way Dr. Bob talked, they're quoting him wrongly. For I've got a tape. Dr. Bob Sr. says, they'll come out with one translation and then they'll dub it down worse with the next one. I have it right on those tapes. I'm going to get them all to you. Get that thing humming over there, that tape thing. My boy brought those to me, Stephen. They're by Swatko. Remember Swatko? He's the one that brought the Burning Hell film here. And a lot of kids seem to really get stirred up. I got right with God about that Burning Hell film. Somebody get saved in here during that time? I thought somebody did. Isabel did, or somebody. So I'd go, he was a character. If he's still alive, he's still a character. Huh? And you won't forget him. But he had those tapes. I thought I ought to send those tapes to some of his relatives, lest they forget how he used to preach. I mean, the old man was tough. He said they ridiculed Bob Jones University because of their high standards and wouldn't let the girls hang on each other, girls and guys hang on each other and everything else. I'm telling you, I didn't say that it's any different there now in that regard. I know one thing. Bring the old man back and he'd clean up shop. Amen? And you bring the old pastors back after they've been dead for about 20 or 30 or 40 years in most churches, and they'd sure shape things up, wouldn't they? They'd sure size things up in about 5 minutes, say, this is the most mixed up, backslidden thing that ever happened. Give me that pulpit for an hour, and I'll straighten every one of them out. You know what Dr. Bob said? He said, it's not easy to do right and take the right stand. It's always difficult to stand against the tide and to do what's right. They'll call you unloving. I'll tell you what else he said. He said, we were called the real fundamentalists. The unloving crowd. The intolerant group. Oh, he went on and on. You need to hear his tapes. They do you well. They do you good. They'd help you to appreciate my strong, hard preaching here when you hear it from some of these preachers of yesteryear. I mean, he was rough. He was loving, but oh, was he strong against compromise. May God help us to do what's right, whether it's popular or unpopular. Here's the reason things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, here's the reason things are going to get worse and worse. Look at verse 3. Chapter 9, verse 3. And they bend their tongue like a bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and here's the reason. And they know not me, saith the Lord. They don't know the Lord. Don't know the Lord. Look at verse 6. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me. There it is again. What does it say over in 1 Samuel? Where is that? 1 Samuel chapter 2. Of Eli's two sons. They were sons of Belial. You don't need to turn. They knew not the Lord. And God killed them both in one day. They knew not the Lord. That's the reason people live like they don't know the Lord, because they don't know the Lord. And you better stay away from people. If people are always having contention, and they always are contentious and problems and everything, and on it goes, you just need to have a big question mark. Are they really saved? Amen? Always picking a spiritual fight. People that are arrogant. We don't need that. Well, here's what God said he's going to do to them. Look at verse number 7. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them. I'll tell you what God's going to do with those that don't know the Lord. He's going to melt them. That's told us over there in Peter. Let's see if I can find it. Anybody know exactly where it is? It's Peter. Come on, nobody knows where that is? Talks about the burn, the fervent heat. I think it's Peter. I think it's 2 Peter, for that matter. Says God will burn them up. Where is it? Thank you. 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. One part of the Bible, it even goes more descriptive, that their sockets of their eyes, and God will burn them all up and burn their eyeballs up. Other places, God says, I'll pluck their eyes out. I'll have the birds peck their eyes out. That's what God thinks about people that stand against Him and against His book. I'm talking about lost people now. I'm not talking, shifted gears now. I'm not talking about some professor at some college. He may be just as saved as you and I are, but he better get his things in order, and he better quit listening to liberal theology. Because when he passes it on to some other young men, he's going to meet God, and I'll tell you what, Pastor Harvey might just meet him at the judgment seat of Christ, Linda Sue, and say, "You're the one that almost ruined my boy with your false view of the authorized King James Version of the Bible." I know another man, he's 70-some years old. And he said he's going to hold an administrator personally accountable for his sons who were destroyed much for the same reason over the King James Bible when they turned against their King James Bible version father pastor. And he said, "None of my boys are doing anything for God, and they won't even come by and see me anymore." He said, "I'm going to hold somebody personally responsible at the judgment seat of Christ for destroying my boy's faith in that King James Bible." I don't set those things lightly aside, friends. When you hear things like that as a minister of the gospel, you better check into things. Amen? Don't you think I ought to be if I'm on vigil, if I'm on watch? Amen? You think it's right for us to still keep letting our people go to Fairhaven Baptist College? After they lied about your assistant pastor by the name of Pastor Hammonds? Well, I wanted to get my spiritual boxing gloves on and go up and tell them something. Brother Henry wouldn't let me go though, would he? Said they locked me in jail. They would not have locked me in jail. I'd have had them in jail, God's jail. Start touching God's anointed. I can't recommend things that aren't doing things right. Amen. None of the schools are perfect. But when they go as far as they're going, they're still doing the same thing. Running down good godly men who were there for 15, 20 years. For that alone. I said for that alone, I'd say Ichabod to a school. You don't run down God's men and lie about them and send out 200 letters to all the pastors and defame those pastors and get away with it from an almighty God. Amen? Send out a purposeful letter to defame and ruin those men. I would not want to be in Dr. Roger Voglin's shoes when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ, the way he talked about Dr. Behrens and Brother Rosser and Brother DeLong, right on the mission field. That was so low, I couldn't believe it. And Dr. Behrens tried to calm me down, and I was not about to be calmed down. I thought it was evil then, and I know it's evil now. You cannot do that, brother. I could disagree with another minister of the gospel over here, but I mean, I'm not to write a letter and send it with a bunch of lies and half-truths to try to defame a man of God. I'm telling you, I'd be afraid God would want to kill me or work me over good. That man that wrote those 200 letters is so filled with pride, and I'll tell you what, he ought to come back to those people he defamed, and he ought to write another letter out and tell all those pastors, "You shouldn't have believed a word of it. I sent out a bunch of lies and half-truths. Please forgive me. I've asked my whole church to forgive me. I've asked and begged those men to forgive me, and I've asked God to forgive me, and I still don't know if he should be in the ministry anymore after he's done something that bad. How could you trust him in the future?" You know what the Bible says? "Receive not an accusation against an elder, but before two or three witnesses." And those pastors that got those letters, I made some phone calls when I got that letter. You know why? I want more than one person's opinion about dethroning good godly men. And I found out that the one who wrote the letter was the culprit, trying to cover his son's sin. Bad enough, cover your son's sins, but to ruin some good godly men or their testimony? Shame of shames. Shame on you. You want me to send our students up there and be in the under the tutelage and the pastorship of that man? You I've got more character than that. Some people say you're holding a grudge. I don't hold any grudge. I'm just glad I'm not in his shoes. But I don't even think they treated our telly right either. Kept her in school forever, never did give her a degree. Bunch of haughty. They just want her money keep coming in. They want her on the bus route and all. But maybe I'm judging in that regard. Maybe she didn't do it all perfectly. But man alive, she's from a different country. Man, you can make some exceptions to the rule. Man, wonder how many thousands our dear telly owes to the school up there. Oh my. It's a sad day when the pastors become brutish. Can't tell the truth. A man, he ought to get out of the ministry if he can't tell the truth. Ah, you can disagree with a man of God or some other brother, and maybe you think he's less of a Christian than he ought to be, and he shouldn't maybe be in the ministry because of certain things, but man alive, you don't defame him and run him down all over the country when there's no proof to all of that. You have to have proof that a man is disqualified before you go doing that kind of business. They're going right on. Those men that were defamed. But their hearts were sure broken when it happened. Dr. Behrens said, my wife's a basket case. Says she's just a basket case. She lost all her friends of 20 years in one day. Can you believe such things? Can you believe that? Because of a preacher trying to cover up the sins of his son, who was already married and was like an assistant pastor or a co-pastor. Can you believe that? I thought the Bible said judge righteous judgment. God says, and by the way, if these people are saved, God knows, and I don't even know if people are saved that act like that and keep acting like that and act like that and keep acting like that and are filled with pride and everything else. Listen, Jesus is the one that saves them, so I don't know if people are saved or not, but they ought to act saved if they're saved. They ought to know how to repent too. If they've done wrong, they ought to say, I have sinned. I am sorry. I got caught up in this. I was just trying to defend my son. I declare, we need to get back to the Bible, friends. I don't know why I'm getting all in all this. I'll tell you what it says here. And their tongue, verse 8, their tongue is as an arrow shot out that speaketh deceit. And one speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit for these things? Verse 9 says, saith the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation? As this. Well, what's the whole answer to the whole thing? Here's the whole answer. Just keep weeping. Just keep weeping. When people do wrong, just weep for the people who are opposing themselves and hurting themselves. And here's the other thing we can do in verse 24. Well, we need verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Did you get that?
that he understandeth and knoweth me? The answer is, let's get to know the Lord better. Let's understand the Lord better. Let's thank the Lord that we understand and know him and want to know him better, and weep for the people who don't want to know him and don't want to serve him and don't want to do right. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. We should be filled with loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Our Father, bless the word. We thank thee for it. Help us, Lord, to be drawn closer to thee. We're so far from all that we ought to be or want to be. We do pray for help, dear Lord, that we would just yield ourselves afresh to thee. Have thine own way, Lord, in all we do and say. May we lift up that bloodstained banner as we ought. Keep us true. Keep us from the error of our way. We're so prone to go astray. Keep us close to thee. May we be strong. May we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And may we be like Jeremiah and weep over the sins of the people. Weep over the lack of blushing and the lack of conviction, the lack of following the way, and Christ is the way. Those that are forsaking God and forsaking the old paths and forsaking the truth and forsaking the old book, may we just weep in our hearts and be broken and saddened, and pray that they might flee the wrath to come, and dear Lord, flee the judgment that's going to come upon even believers, for we'll be judged. All that we've done, dear Lord, after salvation. Thank God the judgment that would send us to hell is taken care of. But, oh God, we've got life to live, and we pray for help. Strength, encouragement, all we do, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.